Hey everybody, welcome to the Juggernaut Training Systems YouTube channel. I'm Chad Wesley Smith, owner and founder of Juggernaut Training Systems, also a blue belt at Gracie Baja headquarters in Irvine, California, third at the 2019 Worlds and Pan Ams in the ultra heavy division. But more importantly than that, also served as strength and conditioning coach to such jiu-jitsu athletes as Hamalu Bahao, Felipe Pena, Octavio Sousa, Kyron Gracie, and a lot of other ones. Gonna be trying to do more and more jiu-jitsu related content here on the channel to help you better understand how to organize your strength and conditioning training for jiu-jitsu to maximize your performance, make sure you're staying healthy, and just be the best athlete that you can. So make sure you subscribe to the channel, like this video, and this will be the first in, again, what I hope to be a lot of jiu-jitsu related content. And we're gonna be talking about how to organize the training week, which is one of the most common questions I see people struggling with on Reddit and our YouTube comment section, all that. So if you have questions, ask me in the comments. If you have, you know, other topics you're interested in, let me know. Follow along on social media as well, on Instagram as well, at Juggernaut Training and at Chad Wesley Smith. So let's dive into this. The idea of organizing the BJJ training week starts with really identifying what skills we need to develop, what physical traits we need to develop. First and most important for any jiu-jitsu competitor is going to be to develop your jiu-jitsu skill. So that's definitely number one, has to be the highest priority. After that, we could look at pretty much 2A, 2B, 2C would be strength and power, endurance, and then mobility and flexibility. As we talk about endurance, that's not just the endurance for, you know, a specific match or a series of matches at a tournament, but also the endurance and capacity to do a lot of hard jiu-jitsu training. Coming from a powerlifting background like I did, I didn't have very good cardio, and that was really the most challenging part of jiu-jitsu right off the bat and trying to improve, was being in good enough shape to do the amount of training, you know, to do the most training that I could in a given session and the most quality training that I could. So we're talking about both both contexts of endurance there, both, you know, being able to go hard for 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 minutes, however much you have in the match, but also being able to do a lot of quality training. And the priority of 2A, 2B, 2C, you know, the order that it ends up for you is going to be dependent on some, the style of game that you play. If you're an ultra heavy athlete and you're trying to play from the top a lot, strength and power is going to be a high priority. If you're a guard player, the flexibility is going to be a higher priority maybe. And then what you currently are good at and lacking in should also help guide those priority decisions. Again, coming from the powerlifting background that I had, squatting over 900 pounds, benching in the mid 500s, deadlifting over 800 pounds, putting a lot of attention towards strength and power training, for me, probably not a great use of energy, but for you, it might be very important. Now that we understand, you know, a big overview of the skills that need to be developed, the next piece that you need to understand when organizing your training week is understanding who are you. You know, we're going to have a lot of people at different levels of competitors and different levels of jiu-jitsu watching this video. So are you a, you know, serious competitor, like, you know, a world level competitor at whatever belt level you have? Is this the biggest priority in your life, where you're training, you know, 6+ sessions a week of jiu-jitsu, like daily or you know, double days of training, while also being able to make time for, you know, 3 to 6 sessions a week of extra strength and conditioning work? Are you more of a recreational competitor? You know, you have a regular job, but, you know, you're still wanting to do tournaments. You're wanting, you know, maybe you're competing at Masters. You're trying to be the best at jiu-jitsu you can, but it's probably not the number one priority in your life. And then finally, are you more serious about lifting, but still want to do some jiu-jitsu? So basically your jiu-jitsu is complementary to more recreational jiu-jitsu with more serious lifting, whether that's, you know, you're a powerlifter, weightlifter, strongman competitor who also wants to do some jiu-jitsu on the side. I'll try and give some context for all three of those scenarios. And then finally, we also need to understand what is your training background. If you haven't done much in the way of strength and conditioning training prior to this, doing a little bit is going to be really beneficial to you. If you've been training jiu-jitsu, you know, 6-7 days a week with no extra strength and conditioning, adding in one session of strength and conditioning is a big improvement from what you've been doing already. And a little bit will go a long way. Now, if you're already really well developed in one of these areas, whether that's, you know, strength, endurance, flexibility, whether that you've done that through your jiu-jitsu training and complementary training to that, or you're coming from another sport like me, a strength sport, hopefully you have well-developed strength, an endurance sport, maybe you were a triathlete or a CrossFitter or something beforehand, and you have really good endurance, or perhaps you were a gymnast and you're super flexible as you transition to jiu-jitsu, you're not going to have to dedicate a lot of energy towards your, you know, your strong area to maintain that, considering that you probably are already good enough in that realm to be more successful than you currently are as a jiu-jitsu competitor. You need to bring up the other components to match. And the idea of being really well developed in one area also pertains to jiu-jitsu skill. If you're a brown belt who's never done any strength and conditioning training and you train jiu-jitsu 6 days a week, you're probably not gonna forget how to do jiu-jitsu or have a degradation of your jiu-jitsu skill if you go from training 6 days a week of jiu-jitsu to only 4 days a week, but you add in 2 strength and conditioning sessions. If you've never had any background in that, you're gonna get a huge benefit from those strength and conditioning sessions, while at worst being able to maintain your jiu-jitsu skill, and then with your newfound strength, power, speed, flexibility, maybe even enhance aspects of your game. So as we begin to be able to organize the week, the next thing we need to do is classify our stressors. So by stressors, I mean each component of your training is going to have different levels of fatigue that it generates on your body. And higher stress activities are going to generate more fatigue. And what we're going to try and do is organize these stressors in a way that you have days that are very challenging to you and other days that are, you know, pretty light and reserved for recovery. And I think that's the big problem that people face as they try and organize their week for jiu-jitsu is, you know, they train really hard jiu-jitsu on Monday and Tuesday, and they're like, man, there's no way I could lift on Wednesday. So maybe they just take that day entirely off, or they just do more jiu-jitsu training. But being able to identify what is the most fatiguing, less fatiguing, and organize those strategically is what I'm going to try and help you accomplish here. So first we need to look at what are our highest stressors, our most fatiguing activities. So that's going to be live training, you know, near maximal efforts, 5-minute rounds, 6-minute rounds, 8-minute rounds, 10-minute rounds, whatever you're training, you know what I'm talking about. Live training, the hardest stuff you do at your school. Outside of that, from a strength and conditioning standpoint, our high stressors are going to be maximal effort, sprinting, jumping, and throwing, very explosive efforts, and then our primary lifting done at maximal efforts. And we're going to say that's 85% plus weights, or weights below 85% done to failure or very near failure, and big compound movements. And I'll have videos in the future that talk specifically about exercise selection and, you know, what those different primary lifting movements could be and should be, but I don't want to make this particular video several hours long, so I'm going to split these up over the course of a lot of different content. So those are our high stressors: live training, sprints, jumps, and throws, and our primary lifting done at maximal efforts. Our medium intensity stressors mean more like specific training. So, you know, you start in half guard, and if you, you know, pass or get swept or submit from there, you know, you and your partner switch and you keep going back and forth there for whatever extended period of time. It you know, is probably pretty challenging. You're going at a relatively high intensity, but it's not going to be as taxing, as fatiguing as, you know, full go live training, especially training that starts from the feet. Keep in mind with all these from the jiu-jitsu standpoint is that modifying, controlling, modulating your effort, you know, how hard you're trying can be a big difference in something being a high, medium, or low stressor. You could do live training and just not try it very hard, and then it's probably not a high stressor. You could do specific training as hard as you possibly can, and then it is probably a high stressor. So I'm speaking, you know, in generalities here, but generally, specific training I would put as a medium stressor, as well as primary exercises done at submaximal efforts. So being further away from failure, let's say 3 or more reps in reserve, meaning that, you know, as you do that set, you finish the set and feel like you could have done at least 3 more reps before failing. And then also lifts being done for more speed type of training. So lifts being done at a high velocity. The other medium stressor in the weight room are gonna be accessory weights done to near failure. So smaller exercises, you know, more body part specific exercises done to at or near failure. And finally, our low intensity stressors are gonna be drilling. Again, controlled effort here going through, you know, probably 60, 70% effort on drilling. Controlled effort rolling, so submaximal effort, specific training or live training. Aerobic capacity training, I'll have, again, a totally separate video about that, but there I'm talking about, you know, running, biking, rower, jump rope, any submaximal, like low intensity, steady state cardio or tempo type of intervals, submaximal intervals, not high intensity interval training, as in the name, high intensity would be a higher stress activity, as well as accessory weights done, you know, away from failure, 3+ reps in reserve for smaller accessory movements, prehab, restorative, mobility type of training. Those are gonna be all of our low stressors, our low intensity stressors. And then finally, we also need to account for non-training stressors. Now, your body doesn't understand, it doesn't know what live training jiu-jitsu is, or a squat or a deadlift, or, you know, yoga, or, you know, a hard day at work, or finals at school, or argument with your significant other. It just knows stimulus and stress. And those non-training stressors like work, relationship, school, kids, those all need to be accounted for, because if that the stress from those is higher, something's gotta give. So you gotta bring down the stress levels being generated by your training a little bit. And obviously those are, you know, hard things to plan for. Sometimes, you know, you probably can't periodize arguments with your girlfriend, but it needs to be accounted for. And so if you work, you know, a very physical job, a manual labor type of job, that's gonna impact what you can do training wise, you know, jiu-jitsu and in the weight room. So now as we look at laying out the week with a couple of these example scenarios, we have our very serious competitor. You know, they're training 6+ days a week of jiu-jitsu, maybe some double days in there, and then also, you know, complementing that with maybe 4 or 5 days of strength and conditioning work. When I worked with Hamalu Bahau, he was doing about 18 training sessions per week. So that was, I think, 12 jiu-jitsu sessions, and then 3 strength and conditioning sessions with me, and 3 extra aerobic capacity and conditioning sessions on his own. So that's probably about the peak of the amount of training that anyone's gonna be able to tolerate. But for the purposes of this example, you know, we're gonna have day one is a high intensity jiu-jitsu session. You're coming into the week fresh, so you're gonna do some of your hardest jiu-jitsu training on that day. And we're gonna complement that with high intensity strength and conditioning work. And I know that seems a little bit counterintuitive. Why would you do your hardest jiu-jitsu and your hardest lifting on the same day? And, you know, hopefully that becomes more clear as we go on with the video and with this series. But the purpose behind that is gonna be, if we were to take all of our high intensity stressors and spread them throughout the week, so we train hard jiu-jitsu on Monday and then hard strength and conditioning on Tuesday, and hard jiu-jitsu again on Wednesday and hard strength and conditioning on Thursday, then every day is high stress and there's no recovery built into what you're doing. So by putting your high intensity jiu-jitsu and high intensity strength and conditioning on the same day, we allow the subsequent day to be lower intensity and to facilitate some recovery. With that in mind, these high intensity days don't mean that you're going to have necessarily long workouts. Now, the jiu-jitsu workout may be, you know, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. A lot of that's going to depend on your fitness levels, but don't conflate a long workout with a high intensity, high fatigue generating workout. You really want to be looking more at like quality and intensity of effort rather than just necessarily the duration, particularly on the strength and conditioning side of things, because as we said, developing jiu-jitsu skill is the number one priority. And if you're a serious competitor, you're trying to qualify for ADCC, you're doing super fights, you're, you know, in upper belt divisions at IBJJF Worlds, you're going to have to do a lot of jiu-jitsu training, of course. So that high intensity strength and conditioning day, it might not be a big long workout because you're not trying to be a powerlifter, you're not trying to be a weightlifter. We're trying to just complement your jiu-jitsu. So that high intensity strength and conditioning day might just be two exercises. It might be, you know, some kind of squat variation and some kind of pressing variation, bench press, incline bench, overhead press, but done with relatively high intensity to pretty near failure with a big exercise. So maybe it's those two big movements and then some abs or some work for your neck, but it's not going to be a workout that you're in there for, you know, 2 hours with like a powerlifter or a weightlifter might be who's preparing for competition, because the strength, the weight room is only a piece of what you're doing to get ready. So those high strength, high intensity, high stress strength and conditioning days doesn't mean a long workout. So after Monday's really big day, high intensity jiu-jitsu, high intensity strength and conditioning, now we need to have a lower intensity day following that. So on day two, medium intensity jiu-jitsu, you know, maybe some specific training, some lower intensity live rolling, whether that's you just controlling your efforts with someone, you know, of the same skill level, the same belt, or let's say you're a purple belt and you can kind of modulate the intensity of things by rolling with, you know, someone who's just not as good as you, a lower belt, where they can get some work in and you can, you know, practice your game, but not have to expend as much energy. And then we're going to complement that with some low intensity strength and conditioning work. So that could be, you know, an aerobic circuit where you're going on the bike and mixing in some, you know, smaller accessory work with that. Like you do 1 minute on the bike, hop off, do some abs, back on the bike, off, do some, you know, work for your neck, back on the bike, off, some prehab exercises for your shoulders, a lot of different ways to organize that. I'll get into that in future videos. But in doing a tempo circuit like that, a low intensity strength conditioning workout, you're not only, you know, building up some aerobic capacity, getting the work done for those smaller muscles, which just don't demand as high intensity of work. It's also helping facilitate recovery because you're getting, you know, blood flow through your whole body. So now as you've recovered some from day two, day three, we can have another high intensity jiu-jitsu workout. And for a serious competitor, you're going to have this huge gas tank. So you could complement that with another low intensity strength conditioning workout, just a pure aerobic workout, whether that's, you know, a run or a longer bike ride or another tempo based circuit. Because we had high intensity jiu-jitsu on day three, we're, you know, and really no strength conditioning to pair with it, that's probably going to be your biggest jiu-jitsu training session on day three. We're going to need another low day on day four. So here we're doing low intensity jiu-jitsu, just going in for some drilling with some medium intensity strength and conditioning work, you know, sort of secondary movements. So, you know, maybe some stuff like pull-ups or dumbbell rows complemented with, you know, a secondary type of hip hinging exercise. And again, I'm just throwing out examples here. Future videos will get into more specific, you know, do this on this day, choose these exercises, but a secondary complementary type of movement for the posterior chain, like a back raise or a GHR. Coming off this low intensity, relatively lower intensity day on day four, now we can go back to a high intensity day for both jiu-jitsu and strength and conditioning on day five. Very similar organization to day one. Because that's such a hard day, we now need a little bit of a stress reduction. On day 6, medium intensity jiu-jitsu, low intensity strength conditioning. And finally, day 7, maybe a day off from jiu-jitsu, just doing some aerobic work. I'd highly encourage you towards some aerobic work that's, you know, doesn't feel like you're doing a workout necessarily, whether that's, you know, you go and play a game of pickup soccer or basketball, you go for a run, go for a bike ride down the beach, whatever it is, it's got some relaxation to it, which is going to be good for recovery, as well as still getting a little bit of aerobic capacity in. Now, looking at the next one, the recreational athlete, you can see the week laid out here, not too dissimilar from the serious competitor. We have the high intensity jiu-jitsu, high intensity strength and conditioning paired together on day 1. Day 2, just some low intensity BJJ with no strength and conditioning that day. Day 3, no jiu-jitsu, just strength and conditioning. Day 4, back to high intensity jiu-jitsu. So very similar to the serious competitor, just not as many double sessions, not as much doubling up of jiu-jitsu and strength and conditioning on the same day. And I'm doing that because I know that there's going to be people who even see this schedule for the recreational competitor and say, well, that doesn't work for my schedule, or I can't do, you know, lifting and jiu-jitsu on the same day. And to that, I would just say, like, sorry that I can't account for every single, you know, person's daily schedule in this YouTube video, but hopefully you can take away the concepts of it. And keep in mind that, you know, when I say high intensity strength and conditioning session, that's not a long workout. That can be one or two big exercises, and then, you know, a little bit of smaller accessory work that you can probably finish in 30 to 45 minutes. Unless you're very strong, you know, you're squatting 500-600 pounds, you don't need a ton of warm-up sets to get there. You know, when I was competing in powerlifting, squatting 950 pounds, for me to just squat was like 2 hours or 2.5 hours. Because to get to 900 pounds, when you start at the empty bar, I mean, I had 8 or 9 warm-up sets, at least, of adding, you know, a plate every time to get up to the top weights. You're probably not dealing with that same issue. And hopefully your fitness levels, your just general fitness levels are high from jiu-jitsu, so you can move pretty quickly through the workout, at least through the warm-up components of the workout, and then get a couple high-quality sets in. You know, it might be that high-intensity jiu-jitsu workout, and you grab some food and you go to the gym and get a 30-minute workout done where you just do one big exercise. You go up and do 3 or 4 hard work sets of deadlifts, then do a quick circuit of like abs, neck, and some back raises, and then you're out of there, you're back home, see your kids, you know, live your life, do what you're gonna do there. So the stuff, it doesn't have to be big workouts. They can be, you know, small workouts, even for the high intensity days, can be short. Those lower medium days, you can organize them into a circuit. You can do them pretty quickly, not necessarily quick to make them like a conditioning piece, like you're doing a CrossFit Metcon, but just moving at a good pace, building up some work capacity while you're getting the exercises done that you need to do. And those can be 20 or 30 minute workouts with minimal equipment. Like, you know, you finish a jiu-jitsu class and you've got a kettlebell, you know, in your car and some bands or something, and you just go through a quick session of kettlebell swings, push-ups, kettlebell rows, and, you know, go through that circuit 4 or 5 times, and you're done in 20 minutes and you got quality work done. Especially for people who are, you know, balancing real jobs, you know, 9-to-5 jobs with family and kids, trying to do jiu-jitsu, trying to get some extra lifting in as well. I understand you got a lot of stuff going on, but getting that 20-30 minute workout in is so much better than just saying, I don't have time and doing none. So some is pretty much always gonna be better than none in this situation. Finally, if you're in the more, you know, lifting is your priority group and you're just doing jiu-jitsu as a complement, that really shifts the whole idea from these previous two, where you're gonna wanna be spreading out your strength and conditioning work a bit more throughout the week, still keeping with the theme of consolidating your highest intensity stressors to the same days. So you can see, like, day 1, medium intensity jiu-jitsu with your hard strength and conditioning. So maybe, you know, that's going to be like your squat day. Then day two, you're off from jiu-jitsu and maybe just going in and do some accessory weights. Day three would be high intensity jiu-jitsu where you're gonna get some live training done and you're complementing that with an easier lifting workout, which, you know, if you're preparing for powerlifting, you know that squat and deadlift training is pretty much always harder than bench press training. So day one's workout was probably a squat or deadlift workout, and day three is maybe a bench press workout, because no matter how hard your bench press workout is, it'll pretty much never be as fatiguing, as challenging for you to do as a even moderate to hard squat or deadlift workout. Day four, totally off. Day five, similar to day one in that you're gonna have another big, probably lower body lifting workout with some low intensity jiu-jitsu to complement it. Day six, off from jiu-jitsu. Day seven, more accessory weights or a smaller upper body training session. And then day seven, totally off. So hopefully this has given you some ideas of concepts of how to organize your week. Sorry that I couldn't, you know, go through every possible scenario of how many days a week you wanna train jiu-jitsu and how many days a week you wanna lift, but the principles should help guide your decision-making process. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, like this video, and look for more jiu-jitsu content from me, Chad Wesley Smith, and Juggernaut Training Systems coming up in future weeks. Thanks for watching. See you next time.